You are listening to the Young Black Travelers Podcast, Black voices conversing on experiential travel, dedicated to creating a global community of travelers. Be bold, be inspired, be spontaneous. We are YBT.
So welcome back to another episode of the Young Black Travelers Podcast. Again, as you've been listening to our conversations from Kenya to Tanzania, we took you to Arusha, we took you to Dar es Salaam, and now back with us today is Anthony and Stella, and we are going to take you to Zanzibar. Wow. I know Zanzibar is one of those places that is on many of your bucket lists, and you are all looking forward to this conversation so you can get some tips and tricks about how you can visit Zanzibar. So listen, continue to listen to this conversation today with Anthony and Stella and myself as we tell you about our journey from Dar es Salaam to Zanzibar and experiencing this amazing, beautiful, breathtaking island. Stay tuned. Welcome back, Anthony, Stella. We left Dar es Salaam and now we are on our way to Zanzibar. So we actually, by the way, listeners, there are different ways that you can get to Zanzibar from Dar es Salaam or from Arusha. We decided to take the ferry from Dar es Salaam to Zanzibar. Tell us, Anthony and Stella, what was your experience on this ferry from Dar es Salaam? How did you enjoy it? Tell the listeners.
So we took the ferry. I love ferry rides. So it was excellent for me. I was very happy to be on the water. The ride was great. We got to take in the scenery. And it was rather quick. Stella did not decide to join us on the deck. She stayed inside the belly of the beast, which was fine.
Yes.
And we got a chance to ride outside. So that was a great experience, just looking at the coastline and traveling on that water. So we got to Zanzibar. Now, what I didn't particularly enjoy was the process of getting your luggage. when we got to the port, definitely reminded me of something like unorganized. Mm-hmm. So that was a little nerve-wracking because, of course, I was the senior and I overpacked on the trip, so I had too much luggage. So that part wasn't too exciting for me. But once we finally got off the ferry, we got our luggage, we met up with our driver and our tour guide.
Yeah.
Stella, what was his name?
Hold on. Before we get to Saeed, I do want to say that, you know, honestly, the ferry ride, it's an hour. How long was the journey? I think it was an hour. It's a little bit over an hour. And let me tell you, as Anthony said, you know, it was relaxing sitting on the bow of the boat, just having the breeze hit against your face, smelling the sea air, but also seeing the coastline. You know, like, yeah. I think for me, it was like, I was like, wow, I'm literally in Africa. This is not what they tell you about Africa. Because when I was here, I am actually looking out at a coastline that is reminiscent of, you know, coastlines in St. Vincent, the Grenadines Islands, Caribbean Islands. And they don't talk about this when it comes to Africa. Usually when we see images of Africa, we see poverty and that's all we see. That's what they show in the West. But here I am, and we all are, and we are just seeing just beauty all around, literally. And so that's Dar es Salaam. Dar es Salaam, you know, is just really developed, and maybe a little bit more modern. And as Anthony say, now we get into Stone Town, Zanzibar. Right. Very different, right? Still, it's older. Tell us now about, you know, now we meet up with Saeed. Stella.
Yeah, so I would say before meeting up with Saeed that the coastline was beautiful. I didn't sit outside for the whole duration of the ferry ride. I was just really tired from actually getting on the ferry. So I do want to just back up a little bit, and this is for our listeners. So you have to purchase your ticket for the ferry before you get on the ferry. So like about a day before, honestly, I would say about 2 days before you get on the ferry. And if you're close to the actual docking area, I would say just get your ticket in person, because there are a lot of fraudulent websites, right? Mm-hmm. So just a tip there. And then also getting your bags onto the cage that would go onto the ferries is a difficult process. You really have to not be so nice during that process, because there are a lot of people there that are doing their job, but also trying to take advantage of you as well. I would say you don't
Everybody wants a tip.
Yeah, you don't need to pay anybody. You can handle your luggage yourself. There's enough people there to tell you what to do, how to get the sticker, what to pay for, etc. So try to avoid a lot of those handlers, because one, you don't really know if they're actually going to put your things on the ferry, even though ours was on the ferry. So, you know, we got lucky there, but also it could be more expensive than you actually need to pay. And it also could be a very frustrating experience, which is what I was dealing with when I was in the ferry. But nevertheless, you know, it's all part of the navigating through Dar es Salaam to Zanzibar.
But Stella, hold up. I think you made an important point right there, because I think what we, in our experience along this journey, what we literally recognize, a lot of things we tipped for and paid for along this way, we could have done all of it by ourselves, but a lot of times we were, especially in that ferry experience, we paid because we thought it was actually, we're supposed to actually do it. And then when we get to the board, we're like, wait, we could have just lugged our luggage here by ourselves and just put it on these carts ourselves. So what you said there is facts. And also, maybe a good thing to take away is, actually where we stayed in on the Airbnb, maybe stay close to the port if you're planning to do that. Because, you know, I mean, it's a beautiful, I mean, city, and the scenery is amazing. So probably stay close to the port. I know they have some hotels around there. We stayed in an Airbnb, but you could probably do an hotel as well. But Stella or Anthony, maybe we'll take it to ladies first, as Anthony had said. What were your first impressions of Zanzibar once we arrived?
So my first impression was, it felt like, how do I explain this? So it felt like I just entered into light, if that makes sense. And I guess it's because the inside of the ferry was a little dark. So when getting our luggage again was just another experience where I couldn't be my happy-go-lucky self. I had to toughen up my face to get our luggages. And, you know, Anthony and Asher was trying to figure out where our ride was. I'm over here trying to figure out the luggage. So as soon as we got out of that tunnel, it was like, you know, like the light was there, because there's just so there's just so much color everywhere. Like, it's so bright, you know, there's so much color. I mean, everything is just so vibrant. It's literally like taking a high definition picture on your phone. That's how it looked to me. A lot of people on the road, definitely a lot more pedestrian like than I would say Dar es Salaam was from just my first encounter at Zanzibar. The air smelled good. You know, it just felt like, okay, this is where I'm supposed to be to end my East African, my Africa trip.
Yeah. Anthony, how about you?
Man, listen, once we, again, finally got through the ferry experience and we got outside, I didn't get it initially because obviously the ferry put us into Stone Town. And we had to do a drive from Stone Town to Zanzibar, to the part of Zanzibar where we were staying. Initially it was, you know, to me, it was like a port, you know, there was a lot of activity happening. But when we drove to our destination, what was the name of our area where we were?
Kigwengwa.
Mm-hmm. When we got to Kigwengwa, as we were driving through, you know, it reminded me a lot of, you know, my native Guyana, actually. It was very tropical. The weather was very warm. There were a lot of palm trees, banana trees, coconut trees everywhere. And it really just reminded me of a tropical paradise, like really. As I drove through it, it just kept reminding me of back home for me. So that was my first initial, you know, experience. Now, Ashley, you tell us how you felt when you when we finally got into Kikwenga.
No, honestly, Anthony, what you said is facts, right? I mean, the thing that consistently stood out to me when on this drive and every time we were driving through Zanzibar was, wow, just so many vegetation. It was so green. It was so lush. There are coconut trees everywhere. You just literally see like there are plantations, gardens everywhere. And, you know, you will hear about a lot more about Saeed. And Saeed, our driver, talked about, you know, I guess part of the culture and the way of life is there's just a lot of vegetation and people can go to different people's lands and pick, you know, different fruits, as long as they're not just picking fruits to go sell, right? And it was just very apparent that that's probably just their way of life, because I'm telling you guys, fruit trees were everywhere. But I would say my first impression when we got to that food truck, I think it was food truck, that restaurant that we stopped where we're trying to get money. By the way, here, let me tell you, hold on. Let's weave back. You need, I don't know if we said this in our last, in anything we talked about, Tanzania. Y'all need to make sure y'all bring money. Bring cash. Bring enough cash. Because let me tell you, Tanzania is a cash economy. Your cards are not gonna work. You're gonna have a lot of problems. So
Visa, no MasterCard, no Amex, bring cash.
No Discover, bring your cash. So if you're doing exactly what we did and you're going through Kenya and then you're gonna go to Tanzania, then use your cards in Kenya and then save your cash for Tanzania. Because you will need it. So we stop at, you know, this place to get food, well, to get some groceries, to get cash and all of that. And we ended up at this, I guess it was a food truck. And it was this, I guess, Italian guy who opened this food truck. But the food was so good. It was so fresh. I remember I was just like in awe of the flavors that was just exploding in my mouth, right? So that was literally one of my first impressions, right? The food and just how good that was. Right. But as we get to the Airbnb, I mean, oh my God. Oh my God. We saw the pictures. That's why we chose it, right? We chose that place because as Stella said, this is where I wanted to end the trip, right? In a place like that. It was on the beach. It just had a really beautiful scenery right on the beach, facing the beach. When we got there, I guess it was high tide because the water was literally close to the Airbnb, which I've never seen, by the way. I mean, I lived in St. Vincent and I've never seen water move like that in my life. So that, for me, that was shocking and surprising because when we got there, the water was literally right close to the Airbnb, and then we woke up in the morning, it was all the way out. We're like, wow, this was just really interesting. But
yeah,
Stella, what was your first impression, I guess, once we got to the Airbnb?
Right. So what I mentioned just a few moments ago was my first impression getting out of the tunnel, right, of the port. But getting into the Airbnb, I had the same experience as Asher and Anthony. But I will say, again, you know, tips and tricks. Where we were in Kikwenga was on the beach, like literally on the sand, on the beach line. And there are a whole bunch of beautiful hotels, beautiful Airbnbs, very nice and modern. You can tell some of them were newly built on the coast, on the actual beach line. But you are going to enter into the neighborhoods of those who currently reside in that particular neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And that neighborhood may not be the most pleasant neighborhood when you first see it, because it's not shown when you're booking your Airbnb, right? They're not showing you what's behind their home. Mm-hmm. They're just showing you the beach and their actual home. But don't fret, you know, where we stayed, it was actually really safe. the locals who live there, the residents who lived in that neighborhood, kind of reminded me of Nigeria. You know, I saw like moms and little kids cooking outside and making their food outside. You know, their stove was outside. So some places in Nigeria are very much still like that. You know, like a lot of outdoor kitchens, a lot of animals walking around, life. Chickens everywhere. So again, just a very like native, I would say, environment before you actually walk into the area of your Airbnb. So that was that took me back a little bit. But as soon as I saw the water, I just, I mean, it's honestly to die for. Again, if you follow Young Black Travelers, please do so. You see our pictures on our Instagram page. Follow myself, Asher, Anthony. Our pictures are on the Instagram page as well. But the pictures don't do it justice. You have to be there. Yes. You have to see how beautiful that water is. And then, of course, the Airbnb was fantastic. It was a nice one flat Airbnb, and it's everything that you need. You know, it was a perfect size. It was nice and clean. The host was amazing. And it was great. I mean, it was a perfect way to end my trip.
Yeah. And you know, Stella talked about this. I don't think I literally recognized there was so much to do around there. Literally a little bit later on in our trip, because honestly, my mindset was just beach and that was it. But they, in that area, they had, you know, the sky kite or whatever they call that. You could basically go fly the kite and I guess ride on the water with the kite, and that was a whole 2-hour excursion, and I think that cost about $70. They had all of these activities right around there on that beach, and I honestly wish I had more time to book things like that, because we were surrounded by a lot. Literally a lot to
do. You can get a massage on the beach. You can get your hair Maasai. Done. Yeah, from the Maasai. You can get your hair done. You can just sit there and relax. You know, they have different excursions. There's tons of things to do, and you can actually book a lot of your excursions that you would do in Stone Town, in Zanzibar as well. There are different clubs on the beach line as well. We didn't make it to a club. We planned to, but
before we get there, let's talk about the so in our Airbnb, there's an offering. I don't know if all Airbnbs in Zanzibar have this offering, but it comes with a chef. Tell us about, your experience, what you liked, disliked. Tell us how you felt about just having a chef, a home cooked meal after coming back from an excursion, which we're going to talk about.
Personally, I loved it. You know, I like to eat. So not having to cook, you know, our chef Freddie was really nice, very professional. And I enjoyed the food that we had. You know, it wasn't necessarily the most flavorful food, but again, it's Zanzibar. Everything is nice and clean, you know, no GMO added to things, less salt. And you can tell because that's how the food tastes all through. So it actually is flavorful from that perspective, right? And it was such a good time. He literally served all of us a good amount of food, and we had tons of food left over, actually.
Which we didn't even touch after that. But listen, so Stella talked about the Chef Freddy. Now, we're going to get to the excursions, but listen, I guess we were obviously staying in an Airbnb. We were staying in a house. I can't remember which night this was, night one, night two, night three, I don't know, but one of the night we were planning to go out to the club, there was always something that was blocking us from going out to experience our nightlife. You know, you recognize this trend?
It was basically me, my mother, Stella's mother, and your family.
Oh, so Anthony, that's right, they were always blocking us, because every time... We.
I was a part of that block too.
Listen, they prayed against it because
our parents' prayers.
We were planning to go. We met these people, I guess, at one of the restaurants that was literally like two houses down, or this hotel that was like two or three houses down from us. And, you know, they talked about, oh, this nice spot down the road, not too far from us. And we're like, okay, we're going to go there tonight. We plan to meet them at all. But that night, suddenly the current went out. Let me tell you, I have never seen Stella turned a mad woman. Mad.
No,
let me tell you.
No.
I was laying on the couch next to Stella. The electricity went off, and all I got was one box in my chest. This box woke me up, and anyone else that was in the grave, they woke up. So I jump up. It's
I'll
pitch
explain
black,
myself
and jumps
further.
Up and gets a knife, and she's like, oh, no.
That's all she was saying, Anthony. Oh, no.
Well, now.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Now but you guys gotta understand where I'm happening. Coming from.
Hold on. Anthony was finishing this. But hold on. Stella, I don't know. I mean, I guess Stella recognized from the time we got there where the knives were. But in this moment, Stella remembered where the knives were. Stella, and again, as Anthony said, it was pitch dark. Stella run to the kitchen, get the knives, bring the knives to us. I mean, of course, now I'm nervous now, right? Like, literally, Stella is going off about, oh, I wonder if they're setting us up. And I'm sitting there, I was actually calm, but inside, I'm like, literally, like, oh, I wonder if she's really true, real. Like, they could literally have done this. Stella is talking about all the shows she watched where they do this, and I'm like, oh God. So I now grab from her the butcher knife because I need to protect myself too. This was a mess. And then they're now talking about, so I can't remember who said, where is, what was our Masai God name?
Fabio, our security Fabio. Guard, Fabio, our Masai security guard, he was missing. So I had to protect not only myself, but my friends. Okay, this happens all the time in movies. So I knew what was coming next.
Let me tell y'all, Stella went crazy. She was talking about where's Fabio. And of course, now I'm over there like, wait, I'm really not seeing Fabio. But Fabio did come back at a certain point because I guess Fabio was literally trying to figure out. Yeah, because this is norm for them. So I think actually what happened was we recognized that the current went out on that entire side of the island. And I think at that point for me, I was like, okay, so it's not just our house, because if it was just our house, that's when I would have really gone crazy. But I think once I recognized it wasn't just our house, I was a little bit calmer because I honestly didn't know what I could do. Anthony, you didn't finish your story though.
No, so I was just saying, you know, I got boxed back to life.
It was a tap, 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 wake up.
Yeah, I'm like, I run to the window because we're looking for the Masai guard. So just so you guys know, we were given a Masai security guard who patrolled our surroundings from 7 p.m. till about 6 a.m. the next morning. So he was missing. The whole place is dark. You don't want to step outside because remember, we're on the ocean. So you're looking out at the sea of a black abyss. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't have a chance to panic because Stella did it for us. And then Stella started oozing onto Asher. So then, but then we were able to call our host and he was able to just kind of calm us down and let us know, hey, listen, it is the whole island. We're working on restoring it. And I think it was about a good, 30 minutes?
Mm-hmm. No,
came
no, guys.
Was it longer
It was
than
much
that?
Longer than that. Yes, because y'all fell asleep and I was the only one up and alert with my butcher knife. Okay.
Listen, at a certain point, we were like, okay, we can't go out anymore. We can't watch TV. It's dark because there was obviously no candles. Let's just go to bed. And I mean, y'all know I just go straight to bed and I don't know myself until morning. But yeah, that's what happened. That was an experience to remember. Stella, thank you for the drama.
That was definitely a wild experience. It's definitely a good memory for us to look back at.
Exactly.
Yes. And I took the whole knife set with me into the room.
When I got up the next day,
and I had one knife under my pillow.
The whole block was in.
Oh my God, Stella, that was funny.
Because the lights shut off, the lights cut out again. And you know, as I mentioned, I think I was telling my cousin this story that, you know, when I'm in Lagos or in Nigeria, different parts of Nigeria, the light, we're used to the light cutting off. You know, it's a thing. It's NEPA. They're going to turn off the lights a little bit. But, you know, it's something I'm comfortable with. I've experienced it multiple times. You know, I'm around people I can trust. I understand what the next steps are. I understand what people, when the lights are going to come back on. You know, it's something I've experienced before ever since I was a child. But to have it happen in Zanzibar, I couldn't wrap my mind around it. The only thing I thought of was survival mode. We had to survive. I was trying to figure out how I was going to swim back home.
You know? No, Stella.
If anything was to happen, I'm diving.
Wow.
I was going to be out.
Stella said swim back home. Lord,
they weren't gonna catch me slipping.
Oh my God, this again, as Anthony said, this was a memory that, you know, we will never forget. That will live with me forever. But you know, like, again, so that was one thing that we experienced in Zanzibar. Let me tell you guys, I think this excursion that we're about to talk about was one of the best excursions I have been on to date. And I guess we'll talk about why I would say that. But I mean, from the time we got on the water in the boat, because getting on the dhow was one of the things that I knew I needed to do while in Zanzibar. I didn't care about anything else. I needed to get on a dhow. And the dhow are, you know, those old boats or those wooden boats with the cloth sails, you know, those iconic pictures that you just generally see when you think about Zanzibar. It's usually the door or maybe the dhows. And so we did one of those excursions with the Safari Blue. Anthony, start us off with your take about from this excursion.
So once again, here we go. You know how I feel about water that doesn't have a bottom or sides. You know, I'm in my space of paranoia, but we get there. They give us fins, they give us goggles, all these different things. But most importantly, they gave us a life vest. So we got on the boat. And I very quickly was distracted by just the beauty of the water. You know, as we were getting ready to start our excursion, there were a lot of other folks that were on there, some who had actually just climbed Mount Kilimanjaro.
Yes.
And made it all the way to the top.
Yes,
so
yes.
We made some great friends. But what struck out the most to me was how breathtaking it was and how calm it was to be on that ocean, in the middle of that ocean. That was great. And and amazing for me. I think our first stop was the sandbar the first stop? Can't remember.
I think it was snorkeling. We snorkeled first.
Was snorkeling the first thing we did? So snorkeling was the first thing that we stopped to do. And of course, ARW does not get in Arewata. All right. but everyone went out and everyone looked like they were having such a good time. So I said, you know what? I'm going to conquer this fear. I'm going to put on 3 life jackets and get an inner tube, and I'm going to go in. I got a chance to go in, and I'm so glad that I did go in and get that experience. The snorkeling was amazing. The marine life that I did get a chance to see was great, and our tour guide was very gracious and patient with me. He took me around for about 40 minutes, so I got a chance to have that experience, so that was great.
Yeah, and then so now Stella. So that was the first stop, and now we go. So it's the snorkeling, and then stop number 2 on this excursion. And by the way, this is probably we got there probably about 9 or 10, and we didn't get back to Kigwenga till about 4 or 5. Hence why we got dinner that night and we got the chef that night. But Stella, the second stop on this excursion was the sandbar. Tell us your experience on the sandbar.
The sandbar was great. I do want to just quickly piggyback off Anthony. Again, tips and tricks when you're out in Zanzibar. The coral reef is actually much higher than I've experienced in any other body of water. So for example, I went to Riviera Maya in Mexico back in July, and I went snorkeling as well. And I really had to go all the way down in order for me to see the coral reef, almost scuba diving at that point. But in Zanzibar, you know, you really don't have to go too far down to see the beautiful coral reef, but it is much higher. The rocks are much higher. So just be careful. I cut myself all through the snorkeling experience. You know, my knees were butchered pretty badly. And my lower thigh area was also cut up really badly as well. But of course, I was the only one who cut myself. So maybe you guys won't experience the same thing, but it is something that you should, you know, just keep in mind while you're snorkeling out there. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, moving forward to the sandbar. The sandbar was great. So the beauty about that sandbar is that during high tide, it actually disappears. Yeah. So on our way back, from our excursion, we didn't see the sandbar.
Yeah.
But on our way to the sandbar, it was a sandbar. You know, there was a lot of people there. I think I even saw like a group of people playing soccer and playing volleyball.
There's a whole life on the sandbar.
There's tents, you know, there's people tanning. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on the sandbar. I heard some music while I was out there. And it's actually nice because you're literally in the middle of the ocean. There's nothing else around you but water. Mm-hmm. And it's not that big. The sandbar is actually not that big. So it was surprising to see how much life was on the sandbar. But like I mentioned, the beautiful thing is once there's high tide, it's actually gone. So they did a really good job with timing us. That's one of the things I would say with this particular excursion. They timed everything that we did. So we were able to see everything that was listed on the excursion. So again, Blue Safari, shout out to them. Check them out whenever you go to Zanzibar.
Yeah, definitely check them out. I mean, as Stella said, the way everything was timed, and you don't get this, obviously, when you book in your head, you're thinking, oh, we have these things that we're going to do. But you don't recognize that it is so well timed that even I think we noticed this by the time we're getting back from the sandbar, getting back from all the excursion and we saw the sandbar gone. We're like, oh, wow, that was there like 2 hours ago and it's no longer here. But now, so after the sandbar, we go for lunch. And this is kind of why, I mean, everything was great. I mean, on the Dow and everything, but generally, when you go to excursions, one of the things I've seen in a lot of places, sometimes the food that they give you when you stop for lunch is not all that great, right? We stop for this feast, this seafood feast with lobster, fish, shrimp, prawns, all of these things. It was, I mean, the lobster was delicious. It was tasty. And Stella was in Zanzibar just living large with seafood dinners. Stella, tell us about this.
So I love seafood. I love the lobsters, the crabs, everything. And they gave us like a mountain of food. Mm-hmm. Again, all of this is all inclusive. I think we paid $90 US, Asher, if I'm not mistaken.
It was about 75.
Oh, 75. Yeah. So it's even cheaper than I thought. And the amount of food, like usually when you go on an excursion, they'll give you like a box lunch, right? With like a sandwich, maybe a fruit and some water, or if you're in Mexico, some tequila, right? But in Zanzibar, they gave us a plate of food. It was like literally a buffet line and everything tasted good. Also, another cool thing was that they introduced us to their island fruits.
Yes.
And I thought that was so cool because I didn't know much, clearly. I didn't know much about anything. Am I African? Clearly not. You know, I don't even think I am, because my Caribbean friends, you know, Ashley and Anthony, they knew a lot more than I did, which makes sense because, you know, that's how Zanzibar is almost very Caribbean. Like, that's why they keep saying it reminds them of their homes, right? But I thought that was so good. Like, our tour guy actually sat there and cut us pieces of mangoes and dragon fruit and some other red thing that was so good. It was just
red
great.
Banana, all of these things.
Everything. And then you also have access to unlimited alcohol, so like beer and wine. The harder alcohols you have to pay for, but it's not expensive at all. It's like $12 for a mixed cocktail. But like I said, you get unlimited beer, and they actually want you to drink. So, yes. You know, drink up.
Beer, and they also had this, which I really love. They did this coffee mixture with coffee and Bailey's, and that's they were serving that. It was so tasty. Oh my God. Yes. Listen, I mean,
again, all inclusive.
So you guys definitely need to, when you're going to Zanzibar, because I believe after listening to this, you will add Zanzibar to your list. If it already isn't there, you need to book Safari Blue, because honestly, it's an amazing excursion. And even on our way back, we remember when we were in the boat, and now they show it like when I'm pulling up the sail, and now
we sailed back,
and they are now like they also allowed us to sample some food on the boat. That
coconut.
Oh my God. It was just so beautiful. So listen, y'all need to do Safari Blue. I think you will definitely enjoy it.
Yeah. I'm actually going to see if there's Safari Blue in other countries in Africa. When I visit other countries, I wonder if they expand to other countries.
Okay. And so also we went to the Rock restaurant. So I'm sure many of you have seen the iconic Rock restaurant, people posing in front of it, people posing at it. It's picturesque. It's beautiful. I mean, breathtaking. But I think other than it being a beautiful place, I mean, you have blue waters or turquoise water all around you, and that's where you're eating. Let's talk about the food at the Rock restaurant. Anthony, start us off there.
So the food at the Rock restaurant, so it's Italian cuisine with a Zanzibar flair. Of course, ARW does not eat seafood. I only eat fish. I'm really allergic to shellfish. So I did not get a chance to enjoy the mountainous rock special that Stella had, but Stella ordered this thing. The plate could feed like my whole family in Guyana. There was so much crustacean, and oh my God. So it looks like she really enjoyed that. And I enjoyed just watching her enjoy it. I think we have some pictures and some videos of that. Of course, I went more conservative. I think I had a pasta dish and we had like some fish and chips for appetizers. It was great. It was wonderful. Again, just sitting right there close to the ocean, knowing that in a few hours, you're not going to be able to see that floor. It's all going to be covered in water.
Yeah.
Taking in the air off of the ocean. It was just a total great experience. The staff was very courteous and they were very attentive to us. Again, I had a wonderful time.
Good.
There definitely would recommend anyone else to go and have that experience.
And the drinks weren't watered down. Like, the drinks were really good and they were really strong. That's pretty good. We definitely recommend a Rock. Stella, would you say it's worth it?
Absolutely. Absolutely worth it. It's interesting because if in low tide, you have to walk to it, right? And then you see the bottom of the ocean and all like the little spaces, and it's really cool. But when we were leaving, it was actually high tide. You see like boats that are just, I don't want to say stuck, but they're just there, right? Like, it's just like... It's so weird because it's just in the middle. But you probably have to realize, like, that boat was there during high tide. So during low tide, it's like, what is this boat doing? But let me tell you, I got the best picture with one of the boats that was just sitting there. Yes. Okay. And when we were leaving, you know, the tide started coming up, and then I started seeing the boat float a little bit in the water. And if we would have gotten there, I wouldn't have gotten my picture. So I'm glad we got there with low tide. But nevertheless, I think either view is beautiful. I had a friend who actually went a couple of months after we left, and he went during high tide, and his pictures were phenomenal as well.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Listen, y'all need to go to a rock restaurant. I mean, you're gonna go to Zanzibar. I mean, you must go to Zanzibar and just add the rock restaurant to your list, because it is iconic. And that scenery that Stella describes about the boats being stuck in the sand is honestly something you see around Zanzibar, because even right in front of our Airbnb, remember when we were like, there were just many times we saw this. Like, as I said,
we were so confused. We didn't know what was going on.
we arrived there, the water was seemingly rough, but it wasn't, because literally you could walk all the way out. And we didn't know this. So on our first day, I was a bit nervous. But then I think on our last day, we were like, oh, let's get in the water. And we recognized that we could walk all the way out. The water was not rough at all. So, but again, this is what happens with low tide and high tide. I guess a low tide, the boats will be stuck, and then at high tides they will be floated. So just definitely expect this for Zanzibar. And so, yeah, we didn't finish this Zanzibarian journey in Kigwengwa. Again, we, on our last two nights, we packed our bags in the morning, and we went to Stone Town, which I'm going to say, I mean, whichever way you decide to do your journey, either started in Stone Town or ended in Stone Town, I think either way, you must visit and stay in Stone Town. Because, you know, I made sure that we did this because I think I'd read a few blogs where people were talking about, like, you have to do this. And there are a few other things that we didn't do on this trip. But I think nonetheless, we were well pleased with our experience, right? So we got to Stone Town. And Stone Town is, you know, a very historic, I don't know if it's a UNESCO World Heritage Site, but I would think it is. It probably is a UNESCO World Heritage Site, and it's just this historic city in Zanzibar, old town in Zanzibar. We visited the slavery, where the slave trade used to happen. It's now a museum. It was honestly that experience for me, especially when we visited that museum. It was just really, I guess when we went down into that chamber, I, you know, was just really thinking back to just what our people went through. And I just really wanted to learn a lot more, especially talking about, you know, the transatlantic slave trade versus the slave trade that happened on that side of the world, how they were all connected. There were so many questions that just was running through my mind in that moment. Stella and Anthony, chime in here. What? Let's start with the museum. What was running through your minds when you were going through that? And then we'll go on to just our experience in Stone Town. How about you, Stella?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I would say walking through the tunnels underneath the church. So when you go to this exhibit, you're going to see a church, and that church was actually the old whipping pole. The previous whipping pole where slaves unfortunately got whipped. And then they also show you how they came into, where they stayed, where they slept, where they were pulled out of. And it was tunnels underneath that actual church. And I would say when it comes to feeling an experience that you haven't felt before, that is what I felt when I was down there. You know, I've been to multiple different exhibits about slavery, but I've never been in an actual slave site. right? I've never been in a place where our ancestors were there hundreds of years ago, right? Where, you know, somebody was actually sitting here, somebody was laying there, somebody was chained. They actually had left some chains there for you to really get the experience of what our people went through. So it was very emotional, I would say. But I am also grateful that I experienced that because it does put everything in perspective. And I do appreciate how they are preserving these artifacts. I think it's important. I think it's important for not only our history, but to bring awareness to our history and then keep it alive, right? Keep these events, unfortunate events that happened to us, alive. And one last thing I would say is I'm so impressed by the actual exhibit. So there is a exhibit that you walk through. It's about maybe 30 panels of information. And I know a lot of people go into museums and they don't really have the time to sit there and read everything, but I highly recommend taking your time to read those panels. We did, you know, we were there for a pretty long time digesting all of the information that I was there. And it's a lot of things that we as in the United States, we don't know about because we are only aware of, or most of the time we are taught in schools about the Atlantic slave trade, right? So that's the only slave trade we know about. But with this exhibit, the panels actually exposes you to different slave trades that went through this particular area in Stonetown. So I highly recommend it. I'm appreciative of the experience, and I will honestly do it again.
Good, good. How about you, Anthony?
Yeah, I mean, I echo that. Just being able to stand on the grounds of this old slave market, learn the history about the missionary that came, that erected the church and kind of helped to stop what was going on there. And then going down into these passageways and these tunnels, like Stella mentioned, where there were actual chains there that our ancestors were actually chained to. You know, it was a very reflective moment, just being grateful and thankful for the journey that our peoples have come through and how strong and resilient we are. And that was the moment that I was having when I think about my current present day life and how, you know, what I do today paves the way for another set of generations 100 years from now, should the Lord tarry. And it was just a very spiritual moment for me to say that I need to continue to fight through my life and continue to pave the way and make open opportunities and doors for those that are coming before me. And that's what it was for me. So it's very spiritual in that. And definitely, if you're in Stonetown, you must go and visit this site and get your own experience for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, also one of the things that I remember when I was down there, we've said it before, you know, I work in education currently. And one of the things that just kept on going through my mind, man, wouldn't it be amazing if, you know, students could come to Zanzibar, but students could come to exhibits like that and just experience and learn about another history, another perspective than the perspective we generally learn about on this side. And that was just, you know, I feel everyone should honestly experience that. And hopefully everyone do, or a lot more people begin to flock into places like that and you know, just living through it and feeling it and experiencing it. But let's go to Stonetown. Like, obviously this is in Stonetown. What I guess surprised you most about Stonetown, Anthony?
What surprised me most was definitely the merging of the Indian and Arabic cultures. You know, when we talked about the doors, you know, Stonetown is known for the wonderful architecture of the doors, and there are some beautiful doors. And as our guide was kind of explaining to us how to recognize, you know, what came from what culture, right? Just experiencing that was amazing. The roads and the town itself is reminiscent of old towns. It reminds me a lot of old San Juan, the cobblestone roads, the tiny roads where cars can't go through. So it's all foot and bicycle. And then just seeing the camaraderie of the people in the communities. There was like a square that we walked through where people were just gathering, playing different games and talking and discussing politics. It was really great to see that as well. So I felt very warm. There was a very warm feeling to me and a very close sense of community throughout, you know, that whole time as we walked through even the market. The market definitely reminded me of back home in Guyana, where my family's from. Just going from the fish side to the meat side to the poultry side, you know, and then the vegetables and everything else that you could find in there. That was just great, really great experience. And again, a side of Africa that you don't get to see publicized in the Western world.
A side of Africa that you don't get to see publicized in the Western world. That is certainly true. Wow. And, you know, also, so we... I'm sure most of you have seen these pictures of the night market, which is a very famous place that people definitely recommend in Stone Town. So we went to the night market, but around that area, there's also that area where they actually jump off into the ocean. There's actually right now, I guess Lupita Nyong'o went there the other day. And so that is also now trending on social media. So that is all around that area. But Stella, I guess the prayers of our families finally just fell flat because we finally got to experience the nightlife. Anthony decided to go home back to the hotel.
Yes, he wanted to sleep.
Anthony wasn't praying out for us anymore. And so we went out. Stella, talk about just the energy. What do you experience, finally?
Oh, the energy was amazing. I think we danced all night, pretty much. We had met a group of young men who clearly were dancers. Like, I mean, they're professional dancers. And we met them in a restaurant and we asked them like, oh, where are you guys going afterwards? And they told us, and you know,
Asher
and I were always, we're always down for whatever. So when they said tattoo, he was like, oh, we'll be there. And we got there and it's on like the fourth floor. So it's definitely a walk up, but you would eventually get there. And it's a beautiful rooftop. It's right next to another club. And the DJ, I mean, literally just rocked out all night long. People danced all night long. The young men were there doing their thing, you know. It was literally like something you'll see on Instagram with, you know, professional dancers just showing off the latest and greatest moves to different Afrobeat songs. And we had a good time. We had a few drinks. Asher had a few drinks, so he was loose too. And it was fun. It was fun. I would say another great thing about Stone Town is how safe it was. So
yes.
You remember, Asher, on our way back home, on our way to Tattoo, one of the young men that we met, mind you, a stranger actually walked us to Tattoo, and you know, we felt safe with him and he got us there safely. It wasn't like he tried to detour us or take us to any sketchy alleys or anything like that. We actually sang the whole time we were going there, so it was a memorable moment. I would never forget that. And it's a pretty popular song that they sing in Tanzania, and a lot of the tourists, they know that song too. So yeah, I had a great time. That's what I want to tell you listeners. And if you go to Stone Town, definitely party. It's a party town. You know, you're going to have a good time.
Good. Yes. So listen, we've talked a lot about Zanzibar. We've talked a lot about Tanzania. Listen, you guys have to go and experience it for yourself. It's just a breathtaking, beautiful island. And it's an island that honestly I would move to. Zanzibar is one of those places that literally captured and stole my heart. It's a place that, one of the only places that I've said I could see myself here. Let's see what the future holds. I don't know what's going to happen, but maybe I'll pick up and move to Zanzibar soon. But, you know, Zanzibar is a place to be. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to wrap up this entire conversation. So stay tuned as we close this out. So welcome back. Thank you all for sticking with us through this conversation. You have traveled with us from Kenya. You've heard from Shayna. You've heard from myself, Stella, and Anthony about our trip to Kenya and now Tanzania, Zanzibar. You know, it's been an amazing conversation and it's been an amazing journey. And you're going to hear from Anthony about his to Ethiopia. But why don't we shout out like we do on all of our episodes? Someone who we just, you know, who follows us usually. But I think this time we are going to shout out. They have actually reposted a lot of our content while we were there in Zanzibar. And we actually mentioned them on this podcast episode. We're going to go ahead and shout out for this episode, The Rock Zanzibar. And they are on Instagram at TheRockZanzibar. Again, they are about an hour drive from Kigwengwa. That's where we had our scrumptious meals. Stella had her seafood platter. I had my seafood pasta. And Anthony, what did you have again, Anthony?
I had my traditional pasta.
Traditional pasta. So listen, when you guys are in Zanzibar, if you want some beautiful shots, you could get beautiful shots all over Zanzibar, but if you want a shot of The Rock in the background, make sure you plan a trip to The Rock for an amazing time and an amazing meal. So yeah, we're closing this entire conversation out. I want to thank Stella and Anthony for joining us for this conversation. But before we let them go and before we let you go, we usually play this game right here on the Young Black Travelers podcast. It's called This or That. So I'm going to ask Anthony and Stella some questions, and they're going to choose one. All right. So Anthony and Stella, let's start with Stella first. Kenya or Tanzania?
Oh, that's so hard. Oh gosh, Kenya. I don't know if I could leave the... Let me think.
Anthony,
can I say both?
You can't say both. This or that.
Oh, I can't say both. Okay. I'm going to go with... This is not including Zanzibar and Tanzania.
Okay, so...
Right?
Well, yeah, because, you know, they could be seen as their own independent territory. So, okay, exactly. Let's say... yes, let's exclude Zanzibar.
Okay, then Kenya.
Okay. Anthony. Okay.
If we're excluding Zanzibar, then definitely Kenya.
Okay, so Kenya or Zanzibar?
I mean, we just answered that. Zanzibar.
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 I hope my wife is ready because that's where the honeymoon is going to be. So whoever she is, that's where we go.
That's what I've been saying too. That's where I really want a honeymoon. Lord sent her so we can go there soon. Okay, so this or that, Stone Town or Kigwengwa?
Oh, this is hard too. Asha, what are you doing here?
I'm helping out with listeners choose.
Well, I'll definitely say Kigwengwa that I cannot pronounce.
Okay, Anthony says Kigwengwa. Stella, you?
Stone Town. I love Kigwengwa, but I'm just thinking outside of myself. I think people may want a little bit more, so Stone Town.
Okay.
For people.
Kigwengwa. Yeah. You're not answering this question for people. You're answering for you. You.
Oh, for me.
Because,
okay.
Because maybe what you like, people will follow. So.
Okay. So Kigwengwa.
Kigwengwa.
It's for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we got Kigwengwa. Now, we're going back to, well, we're going to do a juxtaposition between two hotel brands in two different places, Sankara or the Arusha Marriott.
Oh, that's easy. The Sankara was definitely a must-go.
Really? Okay. Yes, it is. It is. It is. So, Stella, you say Sankara as well.
Absolutely.
Okay. And, wow. So, I guess this is for you, Stella, because I don't know if Anthony has gone to this other country. But, Stella, Zanzibar or St. Croix?
Zanzibar. Ooh. Zanzibar. Yes.
Wow.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Anthony, have you been to St. Croix?
I have not been to St. Croix, and I demand a recount for asking a question that's biased because I haven't been there. So now Young Black Travelers has to pay my way. To St. Croix.
Well, let me go ahead, Sarah.
Well, I love St. Croix. Honestly, St. Croix is beautiful. It's peaceful. The water is crystal clear. You can see the little fish like at the bottom. It has one of the best beaches in the world, St. Croix does. But I like the energy I felt in Zanzibar. Zanzibar just gave me a little bit more energy versus St. Croix was very, very lax. Very lax, which is okay for people who want that. And I would definitely go to St. Croix again. But if I have to pick between Zanzibar and St. Croix, it would be Zanzibar.
Wow. Wow. Stella, you just said honestly a lot in your response right there. And I think, and it is a lot that, you know, if tourism boards are listening to these conversations, I think exactly what you just said is a message that, you know, I would run with to, you know, better my product, right? So thank you for that. So, you know, again, thank you, Stella and Anthony, for joining us on this conversation. We had an amazing time in Africa. Hopefully everything that we talked about in these conversations really inspire and help someone plan their trip to Africa better than we probably did, and just use a lot of our learnings and plan your time, because trust me, trust us, you will have an amazing time in East Africa. So thank you again for joining. Stella and Anthony, do you want to drop your socials if our listeners want to reach out to you?
Yes, absolutely. I can go first. So you can find me on Instagram at Lady Stells. So that's LadyStellz, as in zebra, _. Add me as a friend, and we can definitely talk all things about Zanzibar and Tanzania.
Good. And how about you, Anthony?
Yes, and you can also find me on Instagram at ARW8096. And definitely add me as a friend, send me a message, let's talk. I've also posted a lot of content from my East African trip, so there's a lot of stuff there that you can actually look at. And if you have some questions and are curious about some traveling that you're going to do in that region yourself, feel free to hit me up.
Good. Thank you. And listeners, as we close this conversation, we want to let you know that this podcast is listener supported. So head on over to anchor.fm/YoungBlackTravelers and become a monthly contributor of the Young Black Travelers podcast. Also, remember that, you know, even though the pandemic is ending, I think one of the lessons that we are learning is that sanitary practices is important. So always remember remember to wash your hands. Maybe when you're flying on your next plane to St. Croix, Zanzibar, wherever you're going, maybe, you know, make sure you use good sanitary practices. Maybe wipe down those tray tables, you know, like Naomi Campbell did. Wipe down those seats, you know. Let's keep places clean so we could stop the spread of dangerous viruses like the coronavirus. We don't want to be on a lockdown ever again. And as we say goodbye, we want to thank you again for listening. And until next time, have a wonderful day. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.